listener. Welcome back to another episode of A Real Page Turner with Donnie Granza and Mara Maros. Hi, Donnie. Happy holidays.
Hello, Mara. And happy holidays to you as well.
We jump into our holiday season.
Yes, yes. You know, gearing up for a festive installment.
Yes. And this week, we are doing a book and movie. They actually have different titles, but the book is Skipping Christmas by John Grisham. And it was published in November of 2001. And I was shocked to know that John Grisham did a Christmas book, to be honest, because you think I had mostly legal thrillers, but he did a Christmas book, a short book, 170 some pages, but nonetheless, a Christmas book called Skipping Christmas. So tell us about the movie. Maybe most people don't know this.
Yeah. So it was adapted into a film, a 2004 film called Christmas with the Cranks. And it was directed by Joe Roth and screenplay by Chris Columbus, not the explorer. And it stars Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis as the aforementioned Cranks. Also, Dan Aykroyd and Cheech Marin, among others, appear in supporting roles there. The film was a box office success, but not a critical success. Many critics panned the film. In fact, it has a score of 5% on Rotten Tomatoes there. But it has kind of gained like a cult following throughout the years.
Yeah. And the book also was not well received by critics. In fact, Publishers Weekend really thought it was not good. And they thought it wasn't Grisham's best work. And, you know, Entertainment Weekly gave it a C+. Which, you know, I don't know, I think is a little harsh for just kind of a whimsical story, right? I don't know. Like, what were the critics expecting? Like, it's just kind of, yes, it's a departure from what he usually does, but it is also, I thought, you know, it's just an easy read. It's like you watch a Hallmark movie. Like, you know, you're not expecting Oscar-worthy performances. That's fine. As much as, and everybody loves them and continues to watch them, although we always know what the ending is, right? So, I mean, it's kind of like, it's good. So I don't know. I'm kind of like, I liked it. I thought it was good. And I know we have differing opinions on this movie.
Yeah. The book was a night, like pretty easy read there. It was, you know, wasn't a chore. And yes. And the, like you mentioned, the length, only like 170 pages, you know, was pretty good there. So didn't feel like I was dragging on or anything like that. Film, I will admit, is not my favorite. I maybe kind of tend to agree with the critics on this one. Well, maybe not as harsh. I don't know if I would give it a 5%, maybe like a 30 in my own estimation. I just, so again, the plot of the of both, it's about this couple, Luther and Nora Crank, and their daughter has joined the Peace Corps, and she will be like gone to another country for
Peru. She goes to Peru.
Peru, that's correct. For over a year. And so as they're gearing up for the holidays, they don't really feel in the Christmas spirit. And they decide to skip Christmas and want to go on a cruise instead there. And pretty much the whole neighborhood and their town becomes kind of perplexed by this and really has many strong feelings about their decision to do this. And hilarity ensues, as they say.
And the daughter is played by Julie Gonzalo, whom I really like, the daughter Blair. And I don't know if you are a fan of Dodgeball, an underdog story movie, which is one of my favorites, but she is the cheerleader in that movie.
Oh, okay.
And when I saw her name, I was like reading up on her to see who played her. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, when her face came on screen, I'm like, she's the girl from Underdog. And I like her. I mean, she had a small part in the movie. I mean, she didn't have a lot of part, like a big part in there, but I did want to mention her because I thought she was funny. And I've just liked her. And I didn't realize that she was, I actually didn't remember, like, realize that she was in this movie. I know her from Underdog, which was later, which was in 2000. Oh, she was probably the same time. So maybe, but I like them both for the movie. But I do, I know, I like this movie. I always think it's funny. And, you know, I rewatched it last night. And I just think Tim Allen is funny. And I love Jamie Lee Curtis. But I think Dan Aykroyd is hilarious. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a Christmas movie. It's funny. It's like one of those things that's on, like, all the time on some channel during this time.
Yeah.
And I thought that the movie was pretty true to the book. There were some differences. Like, I don't think that the chicory ham was in the book. Like, that chicory, like, she wanted that chicory ham, the ham that she had to have. Like, that wasn't necessarily in the book. And, the movie did a few other, like, the cinematic things that were there for comedy, you know, like the ham rolling away and getting run over and, you know, those types of things. But I thought it was, you know, there were some differences. I think the one big difference that they left out, and I could get why they did this, was the diet that they were doing to lose weight for their cruise. And they never showed them doing that in the movie, which, you know, makes sense. But I thought that was a funny part of the book where they would like talk about what they were eating, and they were just eating plain stuff and salad, and they were miserable, and it would say how many pounds they lost, which I get why you left that out of the movie, but I thought it was funny. And then, the tanning was funny.
Yeah. Yes. I did enjoy the tanning scene, but a lot of the stuff like this, kind of the running around and how like everyone felt with everything. And I feel like, and again, like things happen in movies to drive the plot forward. But I feel like if they had just said, oh, we're going on a cruise for Christmas, instead of saying, oh, we're skipping Christmas. Because a lot of people do that. You know, they go away for holidays. And say, they just said, oh, we're going on a cruise for Christmas. People wouldn't care. But then, of course, there would be no stories.
But I think the point was that they weren't spending any money, because Luther had tallied up their total that they spend at Christmas, which was $6,100. And he was getting $3,000 for a cruise. So in essence, he thought he was saving $3,100 and was skipping buying presents and going to his Christmas party and all the other things and putting up his lights and his frosty and all of that. So I thought, you know, that was funny. But they, and then the frosty thing was hilarious, because I guess it was a big contest within the neighborhoods that everybody put something up and the other neighborhoods won. So I did, the thing I like about the book, and again, I say this all the time, is that it builds out the scene a little bit more. And the movie is always quick, but I liked the relationship with Spike and Luther in the book, because it was more a little bit pronounced than the movie. I think Spike Frohmeyer had a little bit of a bigger character in the book than the movie. We saw him, but he wasn't as, I guess, pronounced.
Yeah, it seems like in the movie, like he was kind of there. He was one of the kids chanting Free Frosty. And then but he really doesn't do much until the end, when the Cranks decide to celebrate Christmas because their daughter's coming home with her new fiance, and they try to hurry up and get Christmas all together. And he realizes he doesn't have a tree, and he asks the one neighbor who's going away for Christmas if he can borrow his tree, and Spike helps him like get the tree over. I did find that scene funny when the neighbor says it's like don't break any ornaments, and then they break one right immediately, and the kid's like, oh, it's like, oh, that's not important, it's just baby's first Christmas ornament.
Which, yeah,
as you know, someone who has many, many ornaments, and we put them on, and I'm always a nervous wreck putting ornaments on for fear of breaking them, especially really important ones.
We broke three this year.
Ooh.
That's a new record, because we have new laminate flooring and not carpet, and we broke, but they were not good ones. So I will say they were only what I would call filler ornaments.
Gotcha.
So yes, that was funny. But the other thing that I thought was a slight difference, and I don't know if you picked up on this, when Blair is telling her parents on the phone that she met this guy, Enrique, and that he's proposed, she actually says they've met before. She met him in college or somewhere. It wasn't their first interaction. And that, the book, they don't know each other at all. They just meet at the Peace Corps.
Yeah.
I wonder why they did that. And I wonder if that's subtle for the reader, for the watcher of the movie, to not think, oh, this daughter is nuts and these parents are way too accepting of her just meeting this guy and coming home within a month and saying they're getting married. Because there's no question or drama around her just meeting somebody and wanting to get married. It's more so, you know, they focus on that she's coming home when she shouldn't be, and they were going to skip Christmas. And I'm wondering, like, did they do that to make it a little bit more believable to the watcher? Because you don't question it really in the book either, but I'm kind of wondering why they did that.
Yeah. I think so. Because I feel like it would have been like a little weird, like just only know the guy for a month and get engaged. And I thought, so maybe like that kind of just gave, you know, just gave some background. So it's like, okay, it's not like they don't only know each other for a month. Because you kind of feel like in real life, if your friend or family member got engaged, like after only knowing for a month, probably raise some eyebrows and be like, are you sure? Are you sure, honey? Are you sure about that? So it's so I was okay with that change.
I was too. It's just a different. Now, I thought they did a real good job with Vic Frohmeyer, who is Dan Aykroyd. I thought his character was spot on from what you would have thought about in the book when you were reading about him. You know, very authoritative, kind of the leader of the neighborhood, rallies everybody. And I thought they did. I thought he was spot on.
Yeah,
I liked his character a lot. I thought he was funny.
Yeah, he plays like a good, I don't know how to describe it, but a character like that. He's good in those kinds of roles. One I thought was interesting, like they had the two cops were played by Cheech Marin, and the other one was Jake Busey, who was the son of Gary Busey. And you could tell, it's like, oh yeah, he's the son. He looks like him. If you ever see it. And one thing I always thought, it's like, oh, I wonder if, you know, because he had one, Cheech Marin as one of the cops. I wonder if they wanted to get Tommy Chong to play the other one. I think because I was thinking, oh, did they like, maybe they like just weren't getting along at that time or had broken up. Or I know there was at one point that Tommy Chong had gotten arrested for like having drug paraphernalia and did some like a few months in prison or something. So I'm not sure when that was. Maybe that was or I'm just speculating there, but I thought it was just odd to see Cheech Marin without Tommy Chong. So there, I'm a big fan of them. I have a record of their comedy act. But one thing, like as I was watching it, I felt like maybe there were kind of some missed opportunities such as jokes, because going back to the Christmas tree and how he takes it from the neighbor, it has the neighbor's permission to do it, but then as they're wheeling the tree out on the kids' wagon, you know, you see the neighbors had called the cops, and they show up and they go to arrest Luther, and then the kid shows the cops, say, here, he had a key, he had permission. But I felt like that was kind of just rushed through. I think it may have been better if they had questioned Luther a little more, because he had a key doesn't necessarily mean he had permission. He could have gone over to the house and like swiped a spare key when the guy wasn't looking and that. And because it felt like there was one line that kind of went nowhere, because the neighbor says to him, it's like that his wife doesn't know, his wife will not allow it, so he's, you know, not gonna say anything. And I thought there would be like a scene where they call the neighbor to verify, oh, did you give Luther permission to take your tree? And maybe it would show the neighbor in with his wife right there, and maybe because he doesn't want to like spill the news to his life, he would lie and say, no, I didn't, and Luther would be in even more trouble. I felt like that might have been kind of funny, and maybe a missed opportunity there, because it just seems odd that he made it a point to say that he's not telling his wife about this scheme there, and then like it doesn't really come to fruition, like nothing happens with that.
I see what you're saying. I'm just wondering. I feel like it's one of those things where this is a town that everybody knows everybody, so they go, oh, okay, he had a key. And maybe that's maybe that's just the point of the movie, that it had to move along. Yeah. But I see what you're saying, because they kind of just take his word for it. But I did think it was funny with the Frosty. I mean, the free Frosty was just hilarious.
You see, I found it annoying. It was a lot of things. It was annoying to me. I did like, as the movie settles down at the end, I did like kind of the less funny parts and the more serious parts. I did kind of like, you know, it's very strange. I'm usually the opposite. I usually like love all the comedy parts, but the more emotional emotional parts to the end, I think that I liked more. I think they were more well done. Because one kind of a subplot is with the older couple, and the husband is him and Luther are thorns in each other's sides. And I'm blanking on the character's name.
Walter Scheel.
Walter Scheel, that's it. And his wife Bev, and they say that she has like cancer, and it's getting worse. And there were some very emotional parts with that, especially when Luther decides to give up the cruise and let them go on the cruise, and they deserve it. And I thought like those scenes are really well done.
Yeah, and I thought that was a good ending to it. I think it's a good ending to the movie and the book. You know, it's kind of like there is a moral to it around the craziness of the holiday season and how much money you actually spend and how much what really matters. And I do think there is like a moral to it, albeit I don't think the movie's focused on that, delivering, you know, a moral at the end of the story. But nonetheless, there is one. I mean, it's not my favorite holiday movie, but it is one of those movies that I will admit I kind of just leave on when it's on. I will just pretty much leave it on.
Yeah.
But I had no idea ever until we started doing this that was based on a book, nonetheless, a book by John Grisham, which to me was the most surprising part of the whole thing.
Yes. That was very, very strange. I was like, really? He did not expect something like this from John Grisham.
No. And although the critics panned him, his efforts at it, it is, I think, a skill that shows his diversity to write something besides legal drama or thrillers.
True.
I will say that it's just a good effort at doing something different that obviously worked for him because it was made into a screenplay.
Yeah, it did work.
Whether the critics liked it or not, it's on all the time. So.
And one thing I did like, I did like Jamie Lee Curtis, and she's great. I'm a huge fan of hers, and original Scream Queen there, and because I'm a fan of her horror movies there. But I did like her in this, and I think she did a good job, like as the one who was a bit more unsure, because like at the end, like she's the one that she's ready to give it all up when this scheme once Blair announces that she's coming home, and you know, calls Luther out saying that this was a ridiculous idea, and that it was believable because she never really seemed all that gung-ho for it there, and she admitted and she kind of called Luther out that like she's the one who has to take like the brunt of this, that people are calling them out.
Yeah, I did like Jamie Lee Curtis. I think she's great. Yeah. And she played a very good like kind of straight man to Tim Allen's shenanigans.
Yeah, yes. I noticed her friend, some familiar faces popping up as her friends. There's Caroline Ray of Sabrina the Teenage Witch fame, and Felicity Huffman. So I think, yeah, who I don't think was like really all that well known, because this was in 2004. And I believe that's the same year that Desperate Housewives started. So this was probably like filmed like before she had even like started filming Desperate Housewives. So
yeah, I saw it. I'm like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, yeah, because you would think, okay, you know, she's fairly well known, and that was really just a bit part, like that doesn't really have much. So you would think her part would be bigger, but again, for the time frame, she really had a hit stardom status.
Yeah, it was funny. Good. Well, anything else?
No, that about covers it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd love to know what our listeners think about Christmas with the Cranks, and if they knew it was based on a book by John Grisham, Skipping Christmas. So you can let us know on social media. And until next time, keep reading.
Keep watching.